So there have been 3 days of talks in Congo Brazzaville, and it didn't look like things were going very well at all. So it's very positive that something has been signed, but we shouldn't get overexcited. The Seleka side that signed it, the supposed number three within the organisation has already said he doesn't recognise it. The guy who signed it on their behalf doesn't really control all of the organisation. It itself is an alliance of different rebel groupings from before they took power. So whilst it is positive that they've managed to sit in a room, enough people have managed to sit in a room and sign a piece of paper which says everyone will stop fighting, everybody will prevent any of their subordinates from fighting, we shouldn't suddenly think that now everything is going to be fine.
I mean, you mentioned the disparity and the almost disunity among the Seleka, even though I think the word Seleka apparently is union. It's made up of several regional groups, won't it? I mean, isn't it? I mean, to what degree is a ceasefire in any circumstances a possibility given this?
I mean, a ceasefire in some circumstances is possible, just there probably aren't all of the, there isn't sufficient unity among all the different fighting forces now, and there probably isn't enough to offer them to stop fighting yet, sadly. So Seleka is an alliance. So yeah, as you say, Seleka means alliance in Sango. So it's an alliance of different rebel forces that were fighting against the Central African government that came together to form a kind of stronger force and to overthrow it. But as soon as they took power, the guy who was leading the Seleka alliance, Michel Djotodia, who became president, had promised them all, well, there'll be lots of money, there'll be lots of loot, we'll take over and you'll get things. And then as soon as he went to the treasury, he found there was no money, he couldn't do anything, he couldn't pay people, which was part of why the Seleka went off and started looting and killing and ransacking the countryside and basically trying to feed themselves off the population. So in order to get some form of really lasting peace, some of these fighting forces need to be paid off in some way. I mean, basically how the demobilization works and how people can be integrated into some kind of national army is what's really important.
We are talking here about a country which has been described as a fail state, one in permanent crisis. You have, as I mentioned, a million people displaced. What is the long-term prospect for this country? I mean, are we trying to find a ceasefire where one is never going to happen? Or is there just the inevitability that the CAR will split?
Oh, the split thing is a nonsense. It's not going to happen. That's a sort of negotiating tactic by the Seleka. I mean, we're not going to see that. It's not really a failed state because it's never really been a functioning state. It's never been allowed to be a functioning state for a variety of reasons. I mean, of course, the sort of, medium-term trajectory for the country, if we're being objective, is very poor. I mean, the country was in a terrible state before this crisis, which has only made it even worse. However, that doesn't mean that the country will always be an inevitable state of conflict, and this is some kind of natural outgrowth. I mean, this particular conflict is rather different from the ones that have happened beforehand. It has specific roots and reasons, and there are specific ways out of it. It just requires a significantly larger engagement from from the African Union and the outside world in terms of humanitarian funding, because hunger is one of the real drivers of this violence, to stem it. I mean, obviously it has strong religious elements to it, but if the underlying reasons aren't understood and the driving forces aren't understood, then any peace that we'll get will be fragile. And the fissures within Central African society are now religious. They didn't used to be religious, and that might be what continues.
And finally, and briefly, if you may, the UN has been criticised for responding slowly to this. I mean, to what degree can the United Nations and external bodies actually exercise any kind of calming influence over the situation?
Oh, yeah, they really can. Sufficient forces, they can protect civilians, they can, where they find them, they can stop people fighting each other. But most importantly, they can secure humanitarian corridors so that aid can get in and so that seeds can be planted and some of the hunger can be alleviated. I mean, there is a very big role for for outside forces. They're not just useless. However, there's been insufficient action too slowly.